So welcome, everyone. This is a session on what we're calling Integrated Planning and Advising Services. And my name is Greg Ratliff. I'm with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And this is an effort that we've been pushing forward for the last 2 years internally. And we are now out in the field. And so I'm very excited to share some of the success and progress that we've been having out in the field. Just a few housekeeping issues. I'm hoping that you guys will have questions and ask questions. The sessions are being recorded, so when you ask your question, it would be great if you could come to the mic in the middle of the room, or there are some handheld mics that will be going around. It's also, this is one of the sessions that's being broadcast online as well. So it's all the more important that we use the microphones and speak into those. So let's get started. So the Integrated Planning and Advising Services is something that the Gates Foundation has pushed out as a student retention issue. And the focus of our higher education grant making is very heavily on increasing the number of low-income students that have some kind of credential beyond high school. And we think that by providing higher ed institutions with the technology and systems that they need to better monitor student progress, we can increase the number of college graduates or at least certificate holders going forward. So we've defined this as an institution-wide capability, and by that we mean that you have a shared technology infrastructure and platform that allows for departments to see the data from different departments, registrar, LMS, SIS, so that that data and information is available to any actor in the institution to bring to bear to help students. The second big piece is the business process reengineering, which needs to go along with that, so that as you have the data in one place, you're mining that data, you're doing the analytics on the data, and you understand that a particular student is at risk, you've got the business processes set up so that you can reach out to help that student with the right kind of support at the right time. There are a lot of technology vendors in the space. I've talked to most of them. But not all of them, because so many new ones keep entering the space. But these are some of the ones that we've talked to. I think they all have different comparative advantages. They all have different challenges. And part of the interest in the foundation is not to necessarily anoint a particular technology vendor, but to work with the vendors to help them understand the needs of institutions like yourselves in terms of student retention, what those systems should be providing, the kind of data and information that's actually actionable that would help you move forward. And many of the technology vendors are here in the room. There'll be an afternoon panel as well, where there's an opportunity to hear more about their particular systems. I've also talked to a lot of the higher education institutions. And the big challenge that I see here is the capacity at higher ed institutions for the data and learning analytics. I describe this as sort of higher ed's Moneyball moment. I don't know how many of you saw the movie. But I believe that if we can take the data and information that we have about students, we can build a winning team of college graduates. And so the capacity to take the data and connect it to the LMS system to understand what classes students are taking, to add in some kind of early alert system that allows you to know how well that student is doing in the classes they're taking and across multiple courses, is what's going to allow us to build that winning team. And so we're very interested in hearing from the higher ed institutions about your capacity to implement and deploy these technology systems, to use them effectively, and to increase the number of students at your institutions that are graduating. So what we've done and what we've set up is trying to sort of make the market. And so we've brought together, through an RFP process, the technology vendors that were on the prior slide, higher ed institutions, many of which are in the room, to deploy these systems and to test how well they work. And I should say from the outset, and I don't think any of the vendors in the room would be offended, there isn't the ideal IPAS system in the current marketplace. It's currently a mishmash of degree planning tools, of early alert tools, of coaching and advising tools, many of which operate independently. And our objective is to get those on a common technology platform in a fully interoperable way, so that you can understand what students are doing in the terms of their degrees and course selection, how well they're doing in that course through the early alert and reach out with the right kind of support. So we've got 19 institutions across the country, as you can see, that are deploying these technologies. And what you're going to hear about today is a couple of things. So first up is going to be Ron Yanowski with EDUCAUSE, who's just completed a benchmarking study. You know, what is it with student retention? Is it on the rise? Is it going down? What's the state of play and level of interest? And then you'll hear from two of the colleges that are participating in this study, Montgomery County Community College, represented by Celeste Schwartz, who has just launched their iPass system in the last sort of 2 or 3 weeks, I think, and Pat Burns from Colorado State University. And we've been targeting both two-year and four-year institutions, so I wanted you to have an opportunity to hear from both of them. So now I'm going to turn it over to Ron for an update on the benchmarking study.
Great. Thank you, Greg. And morning, everybody. As Greg mentioned, the EDUCAUSE Center for Analysis and Research is conducting a study of iPass technology adoption. We're also looking at iPass capabilities independent of the actual systems being adopted. We understood when we got into this study that we were entering an area that's not a mature area of practice, especially in IT, that it's an emergent area. We decided to build the study around a group of institutions, a fairly small group that we could talk to intensively and that we could draw on people for focus groups and ask them to fill out a little bit more elaborate kind of survey instrument than we normally would deploy. So just to give you a little sense of the, and I pointed this guy, point that way?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Now that I've got the buttons straight. Just to give you a little bit of an idea of the first phase of our work, which is this benchmarking study, we have recruited this group of institutions. There are 35 of them. About two-thirds of them are community colleges, because that's kind of an area of major interest for the Gates Foundation and for the iPass idea generally. And we asked each of those institutions to make available both a response from the CIO of the institution and what we call a student success officer, a person who is charged with the responsibility, the portfolio for student success initiatives, typically vice president of student affairs, but the titles varied quite a bit. And we drew on those participating institutions for focus group work that we conducted in August, and then we have just concluded a survey and getting those paired responses from CIOs and student success officers. So that's the work that I'm going to talk about mostly for the remainder of my time, but I also wanted to let you know that we are entering into a second phase of our study, which we call a documentation phase, and then we will be working with institutions that are the grantee institutions that Greg just mentioned. In our initial group of 35, we chose these institutions because there were some indications that they were student success-oriented institutions, but we did not go out looking for leading-edge iPass adopters. These are institutions that have initiated some sort of program to proactively pursue a student success agenda. They were not necessarily iPass adopters.
Right, yeah.
So just a few things, a few conclusions from that are early conclusions from our results. First of all, we found a very strong affirmation of the idea of iPass services. You know, this is a NEO acronym. It's a made-up name. Nobody outside of the Gates world has really heard the term iPass, at least in this context. We wanted to be sure that these services, things like education planning, advising, progress tracking, and early alerts, that these really were services that were central to student success initiatives, because there's lots of other ways to pursue student success. I think we got a very strong affirmation of that and of the idea that there are technology solutions that can address and improve those services. We found that it is very much investment in this area for our group is very much driven by student success. Not, for example, when we asked about the various factors influencing them or driving their investments, they were not as interested about process efficiency, for example, but more plainly in a student success, helping at-risk students kind of endeavor. When we asked about concerns and difficulties related to rolling out iPass services and improving them at institutions, user adoption of technologies and of the general principle was the thing that stood out the most, and particularly faculty adoption. We got a lot of input about how to drive faculty adoption. And everywhere we looked, when we asked for indications of where institutions plan to be in the next 2 years and in the next 5 years, we got indications of strong investment and expected growth in this area. So those are kind of the big level or early preliminary observations that I'd make. I can just go quickly through some of the data and just let you see some of the dimensions of what we found. For example, when we described what we meant by IPASS services and asked a question, do these services play a major role in your student success strategy? We got only one or two disagreements, over 80% agreement, pretty much everybody else was neutral on that question. So a pretty strong recognition there among our group that these services are important to their success agenda. When we asked about concerns, two things to say. First of all, we got very few responses saying we're deeply concerned about how successful we can be in rolling out these services. In fact, typically where concerns were expressed, they were described more often as moderate rather than major concerns. But as you can see here, overloaded faculty resisting the use of IPASS systems was our biggest expressed concern, and I think that that has implications for how rollouts can be carried out. The other thing was concerns about integration challenges and complexity of the environment. But I have to say our CIO respondents were fairly optimistic about their ability to handle those kinds of things. I'm not going to try to cover this sort of tutti-frutti slide here in too much detail, but just so you know, it will be available in our report. We asked about the prevalence of various systems that are related to support IPASS. By far the most common one that we found was degree audit. That's been around for a long time. Other kinds of systems that would be considered central to this capability were more in the 40 to 50% range of deployment. That's the blue on the left. But what I'd really point out here is not so much the blue, which indicates deployment, but the sort of pinkish and apple green colors there, which indicate institutions that are planning to add that system. That's the pink. And those that are considering it actively currently, which is the green. And in some cases, you'll see, if you combine all those blue, pink, and green, you get almost all the way to 100%. One of the things I'd really like to point out is the very bottom line here. We asked about whether institutions had a CRM system that had IPASS functionality. We've been hearing about customer relationship management in higher education for a decade or more. It never really has quite taken off, except maybe in the enrollment management area. We only got two institutions out of 35 that said they had deployed such a system. But look at the pink bar. It's 34%. You know, if those people actually do deploy what they told us they would, we would see the prevalence of CRM systems quintupling. That's an indication maybe of some changes in the marketplace. Finally, another general sort of question that we asked, a sort of summative question. In 5 years, these services that are so central to your student success, which have historically been delivered face-to-face or manually or with very limited technology support, will your use of technology in these services, do you expect it to decrease, stay the same, or increase? We didn't have a single respondent, and remember there's two per institution, 63 respondents, we didn't have a single one that said that their use would decrease. About just under 80% said it would increase, and the rest were either don't know or, they were actually close to 90% said that it would increase at least a little, and the rest were don't knows. So I think our indications are that at least among institutions that have consciously adopted a student success agenda, that IPASS services are central to that agenda, and that IPASS technologies will increasingly be used to implement and deliver those services. We hope perhaps we'll return in the future and see if those things are borne out.
Great. Thank you, Ron. So before we move to Celeste, let me see if there are any questions on what Ron has presented in terms of the trends or particular issues that folks want to raise. No burning question yet? Anne?
sorry?
Go back to the, is this one? Can you, right here, I think one of the problems, the issues with this particular slide is the vintage of some of the software that's in place. And when I talk to some colleges and university presidents, they'll say, oh, student retention, student tracking, early alert systems, we do that. And I'll say, who are you using? And it isn't any of those sort of new vendors that are out there. And it's some of the systems that have been in place 15, 30 years, which are pretty good, have served administrators, but aren't necessarily serving the students. Are they not serving the advisors? Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that we need to take a look at when mm-hmm. we ask some of these questions in the
future. And if I can add to that, Ann, we did capture the vendor and product information from this question. I haven't done that analysis yet, but I suspect that we will find precisely what Ann just said, which is that in many cases, these are modules from ERP suites that have been around for a long time. They also may be homegrown systems that are not highly functional. So these numbers probably, state a higher prevalence, if you take into terms of functionality, a higher prevalence than maybe a stricter interpretation would conclude. One slide that isn't here was we asked a parallel question to the systems question about IPAS capabilities. Those capabilities are more a little bit more detached from a specific technology system. And we asked that question of the student success officers. And what we found in many cases was where an institution told us they had a capability, we then asked an extent question. Is it very limited availability, limited, or widespread availability? We found in many cases where they claimed a capability, it was actually quite limited in extent. Things like education plans, for example, are currently being used by a lot of institutions in our group, but only on very select populations of students. However, when we asked them their anticipated availability of those services in 2 years, they almost universally expected a much higher extent of widespread availability. So I think that's another indication that what you see up front has to be followed up by another dynamic, in this case, whether these are very selective or more widespread services.
Ron, I've got a question.
Sure.
And Pat? How consistent were the answers between the CIOs and the student success officers?
Great question.
Did you look at that?
Yes, we did. The way the survey was constructed, there were 5 sections, and in 4 of the sections, both respondents were asked the same questions, and then there was one section that each was role-based. So there are 2 kinds of consistency questions, but the simple answer is I was amazed at how consistent the success officer and CIO respondents were. There were very few significant differences between them. And the ones that were there were in areas, I won't go into the details, but they were pretty much what you would expect. For example, the student success officers were a little more concerned about efficiency of services, like improving the efficiency of human resources. CIOs were less concerned about that. So but I was surprised that these were not respondents living in totally different worlds. They were pretty consistent.
Oh, that's music to my ears.
But remember, this is a student success-oriented bunch. There's Achieving the Dream colleges in there. There's some of
right,
that.
So
this may be a little more harmonious than we would expect.
That's good. So Celeste, tell us how it's going now that you've started this process.
So I'm Celeste Schwartz from Montgomery County Community College in Pennsylvania. Our college is a 2-year comprehensive community college with 2 campuses, a culinary institute, and a significant online college. In addition, in 2011, the college earned the designation of Leader College from Achieving the Dream. So what I want to do is take you on a journey. Not we'll get to the IPAS piece, but I think it's important to understand that in our case, there was a significant process and planning underway that started long before the opportunity to work with the Gates Foundation on the IPAS project. So first, what I want to explain is, as part of our Achieving the Dream initiative, we do have a major student success initiative underway. And This is our chart for this year. These are our annual goals, and as you'll see, goal three is this concept of entry to completion redesign. And under that this year falls all of our work that we're doing with IPASS. So the beginning of the journey. The beginning of the journey started with being fortunate enough to have the state of Pennsylvania support a major building redesign, which permitted Montgomery County Community College to consolidate all of its student services into a single building. The slide that is up now, it was phase one of this journey, pulling together what this is called. This is basically a single, what some folks refer to as a one-stop. We refer to it as an integrated enrollment services center. And from that location, students can register and pay, get their parking sticker, seeing one person, do basic financial aid transactions, and it has tremendously streamlined the process that our students go through. And as I said, this is phase one. This whole process has been from about 2007, a very significant planning undertaking. So as I said, first we redesigned all the spaces. Second, we then redesigned in phase one our student entry processes. And I'm going to show you, and this is in the deck, so you'll be able to look at this more closely later. We at Montgomery County actually have completed the first several components of this. The connection component, the entry component, and the progress component have been completed. The alignment with the Gates grant really sets us up very nicely for this completion and transition component of our work from student entry through completion, and aligns with our current student success initiatives. Moving along to the IPASS grant, it was important to the college that we did not just go out and willy-nilly find tools, but that we first really looked at what our processes were, how we wanted those processes to evolve, and then to align the tools that best met our institution's needs. As Greg indicated earlier, there are many, many, many tools that are on the market. Please don't take my list of tools as the best out there. I'm seeing funny faces from the vendors we're working with, but I mean, there's lots of tools out there, but these tools fit the needs of Montgomery County Community College. I think for those of you who will be traveling down this pathway, I think please include your college community and please align the tools with what works with your plans and your culture. That would be one piece of advice that I would suggest. So for us, it directly aligns with our redesign. It has encouraged the college to consider features and functionality that we had not considered in the past. For us, some of those processes, and I think Ann Keene brought up a good point about older technologies, for us, we could have filled out the EDUCAUSE survey had we not been part of this, because we did have tools that did a lot of those components. But those tools were not tools that were widely received by our faculty because they were a little bit clunky and hard to use. So we actually had two tool replacements in this process. We looked very hard and really wanted to find a single vendor to implement our process. We were unable to find a single vendor that aligned with what we felt our next phase was, so we will present to you multiple tools that our college has decided on. And so why I am not a huge proponent of best of breed, because I don't have a large IT staff, in this case, I felt that there was no other option at this time. So, and I'm going to go through each of the products. Let me first say that the pieces we needed, the gaps we needed to fill were in the following areas. We needed a strong academic planning tool. We currently do have and have used for many, many years a degree audit tool that has served us well. But we needed something that was going to be more, would give the students at least the opportunity if they chose to do some self-planning and self-advising. The tool that we decided upon was Ellucian's student planning tool. The next vendor tool that we selected was Starfish, and there are two tools. They are both replacement tools for us. One is the early alert system, and the other is a tool called Connect that does scheduling. And finally, we're a Blackboard Analytics customer, and we already, prior to this grant, owned the Blackboard Analytics for our student system and the Blackboard Analytics for our learning management system, and we will be utilizing that in the project as well, and I'll give you a little bit more details. So in the Ellucian product with academic planning, it's going to permit short and long-term student planning, the self-advising piece I spoke about, and we're convinced that there's going to be greater engagement between students and advisors. And it's definitely going to create easier pathways. As far as where are we with that, it's installed in our test account and currently being tested. On the Starfish retention solution, it's an early alert system. We're going to be doing early warning, student tracking. We're also integrating recognition into this, and I think when you do early alert, that's probably, I'm more excited about that than telling students that they have Fs in classes. I'm really more excited about getting the faculty turned on to telling their students when they're doing a good job, because that there's a lot of research that indicates that that is equally as important in keeping students engaged. And we decided to go with the online appointment scheduling system because of the nice integration between the two tools. Blackboard Analytics, I already spoke about. It's the student management and the analytics for Learn, and we will be using those two tools to take the data out of our ERP system, the data out of our retention alert system, and the data out of our learning management system to create dashboards that both students, advisors, and faculty will be able to use. As I indicated, we're currently in implementation with the early alert system, with Connect, and with student planning, and it's a big job, and everything will go live, I hope, January 2014, and throughout the late winter and early spring, we will be working with Blackboard on the analytics piece. So the other thing we'll be working with, once we start working on the analytics component, we will be dealing with vendor challenges, I'm sure, because there'll be a collaboration piece. To date, we're dealing with each vendor individually. So finally, managing the multiple software installations. These are our challenges: aligning the vendor and the college timelines, dealing with different vendor approaches during the implementation, managing change and risk, and supporting the organization to embrace and to implement the full power of the tool, and I can't emphasize the last point enough. Thank you.
Right. So now we're going to hear from Pat at Colorado State.
Thank you. So we are an R1 institution with about 30,000 residential students and about 17,000 distance enrollments, and we're located in Fort Collins, Colorado. And as the outline for my presentation, I cite Rudyard Kipling. He's got the five W's and the H. So I'm going to cover the five W's and the H, and the where obviously is at Colorado State, so that W is covered. So why? We want to improve learning via the IPS grant, and it's that simple. We don't want to improve advising, although that's going to be a piece of it. We want to improve learning. If we improve learning via better advising, we feel we'll improve persistence, retention, and completion, and thereby lower the cost of a degree, which I'm sure is on all our agendas today. And now what? Those are our four IPS systems. Let's see. Sorry, I'm trying to drive two things here. Those are our four IPS systems, and I'll talk about them individually later in the presentation. So we have almost a Cecil B. DeMille cast of almost thousands involved in this. You can see when we have a meeting for our IPS grant, there are 12 of the offices involved. We have 20 people involved in that meeting. And it's got a lot of traction at our institution. It's probably the biggest, most significant thing we are focusing on in the student area currently. So now, our four systems are shown up there. Beacon was the advising system and academic support system. And we also will use that for co-curricular and extracurricular involvement advising and engagement with students. Blackboard Analytics, as Celeste said, we are going to use that to look at what we call student transactional data. We have the planning systems, U.Direct and U.Achieve, I'll talk more about later. And Aleutian Mobile is how we want to deliver our dashboard. Now, how? Let's talk about integration. We're going to have to take data from multiple sources and fuse it together into a dashboard and push that out to students, advisors, and faculty. And that, I think, is going to be a significant challenge for us. Let's talk about planning now. U.Direct and U.Achieve are things that students will use after they enroll in their major. They will the courses needed to complete that major will be associated with them as individuals, and as they complete them, they'll show as completed. And U.Direct will be used to plan out all the courses until they graduate, and so they will no longer be pre-registering just for the next semester. They'll plan out their entire 4 years of study, and when they pre-register, they'll modify that. And if we talk about what university planning, how university planning will benefit, if students plan out all of their courses early, we'll know how many course sections of which courses to offer, what size classes to put them in, and we won't be turning away students from classes anymore, or at least not as many of them. And that should speed time to degree. And let's talk about the advising piece now. We think that the advising occurs in three components. There's the curricular advising, which is what courses do they take. There's course advising, which, how are they doing in the course and how can they learn better in each individual course. And then there's the social sort of advising, and we think the IPS systems will fall into all three of those areas and improve all three of those areas significantly in terms of advising. This probably is inverted from what it should be. We look at the IPS system as wrapping around the students and involving the instructors and the advisors as well. And we will have self-service components and early alert systems as well. We have those, but we're going to formalize them across basically all of our courses now. And if we take a look at how much data we're going to be dealing with, we're going to be looking at data that orders of 100 million independent variables, which is big data for us. And we're going to do a regression. So here's the initial regression, which is the Calc 1 predictor with the independent variables and dependent variable shown there. I'm not going to dwell on that, but note that it's fairly complex. We want to actually use this data to define student success rather than believing what the systems tell us constitute student success. And, you know, that's big data on an unprecedented scale. We haven't ever done that before. And everybody says when I show that picture, Pat, is that you? And my answer is no, I'm not nearly so photogenic as that. So we have a Cray XT6M supercomputer. That's where we're going to do our regression. And we think we're going to need that kind of horsepower to do that level of regression at CSU. And we're looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. And to make work as easy as possible, students want to get access to everything via their mobile devices today. And what we want to do is present the information in the interfaces that they're going to want to use most. And that's Ellucian Mobile for us. So now, when? It will beacon implemented at the beginning of this semester, September 2nd. U.Achieve is going to be implemented by February 2014, and then after that, we'll plan the implementation of U.Direct. Ellucian Mobile just went live on the app stores for Droid and Apple just recently. And Blackboard Analytics, we've had a couple of missteps, and has we would have liked to have had that up a couple of weeks to a month ago, but we're now on track to have it up middle of November. And so, how will we measure success? Quantitative, we want to move the needle on persistence, retention, and completion, and we know we have 10 years of history of plots, trend data for this. And as we get into this, after a few years, we'll see if this moves the needle. We'll see if the grades in the courses improve, and we'll see if, you know, persistence, retention, and completion numbers increase. And we're also going to get qualitative feedback from students and the stakeholders as we progress along with this, too. And we really want to change the culture. I think we heard this quote in Washington, D.C., but we really want to kick up another notch our advising on campus. And that concludes, I think, what I have to say. Thank you.
That's great. So we wanted to open it up for questions from the audience to our panelists about the systems that they're implemented. I thought I might just start off with one that I'm very curious about, which is the you guys, from my perspective, have made tremendous progress in sort of moving your systems out and into your institution. And I wonder if you could say a little more about, were your institutions as ready and prepared for this as you thought they would be, or have there been more resistance than you thought there would be? Sort of what's the temperature on campus as you roll these things out?
So I would say that it's about what I expected. We have not trained faculty yet, so I think that we'll see a little, we may see some differences there. We have shown them the system. We've shown at least 70 of 200 full-time faculty have seen it. We've gotten good reports on that. I think that we're starting to see a little bit of resistance. We have about 30 advisors, and they're a little nervous about the change, and because they really don't know what it's going to bring. Mapping something out and seeing the tools, one thing, but they're, I guess, getting a little anxious wanting to test it out with a student sitting at their desk and seeing how it would work. So I think I'm seeing a little more resistance from advisors than what I thought I would see at this point, but I think it's just the unknown, sort of fear of the unknown.
Mm. Can you have it quicker?
We were, I think, ready and primed for this. Our president has issued a challenge to us to improve our six-year graduation rate to 80% within 5 years. And we've been looking at these trends and statistics for a while. We're changing our entire advising structure to embed formal academic advisors for the lower division students in the departments. And because we're changing that right now and implementing these systems, that's an opportunity for us to do this without resistance. Now, you ask me the question again in a year, Greg, and I may have a different answer, but you know, now we're cruising along very well.
That's great. Yeah, we have a question from the audience.
Yeah, and this may be a little premature given where the status of the projects are, but for the institutional reps, do you have any sense of student reaction to essentially the activity that in some cases could be either transparent to them or could be seen as very helpful or could be seen as intrusive or all of the above? I guess that's some general reaction to, mm-hmm. to students.
So we've shared some of this with students, and we're discovering one interesting piece that might be of interest. We thought that the self-service piece would be, like, students would be dying to have it. And we're starting, and I'm anxious to see how this rolls out and would like to talk about it again in a year. We're starting to get some sense that the students say, oh, well, that's cool, but it'll be even better when I sit there with my advisor and we go through it together. So there is still this. We thought that there would be more students who would want to, like, do this on their own. I think we're starting to see that the kind of engagement is going to change, but students still want to be engaged. Probably more students still want to continue to be engaged with their advisor.
So we showed this to our students, and they seem pretty excited with one exception. When we told them that entering freshmen are going to have to come in and enter all the courses for all 4 years of their degree, they didn't like that at that time. They thought that was too daunting. So it's probably going to take some hand-holding and some advisor hand-holding for that piece of it in particular. But we actually implemented DARS, Degree Audit Reporting System, which is the predecessor to UDOT Achieve in 2007. And our students just loved that. You know, it doesn't tell them how they're going to complete their degree, but it tells them what they have left to do. And I think they're going to receive it well based on that.
That's great. Yes?
When I think about our student system and various components of it, our data doesn't necessarily line up. Things as simple as, you know, basic codes or contexts or things like that. So I guess my question to you is, did you have to go through some kind of a normalization process where you sort of went across your various student systems and sort of baselined all your data so that way when you're going to be doing the analytics against it, it's going to match up successfully?
So we're being part of Achieving the Dream, we have a tremendous amount of baseline data, and we've done a lot of when we got involved with the Blackboard Analytics tool probably 5 years ago, we did a lot of data cleanup then and a lot of baseline work. So we're really, for Montgomery at least, we're in a good place with the analytics component.
So we use Operational Data Store, and we've got, I think, 29 billion elements in it. We've got every kind of table you could imagine in there. And yet we still have some data we're going to have to collect and fuse with that. And that's going to be some advising data. How many times have you seen your advisor this week or this semester? And how many times have you gone to tutoring? So those are the two data elements we're going to have to add. Now, at the same time, when we start just our regression for Calc 160, my Office of Institutional Research is taking 3 weeks to extract, transform, and load that data set so we can pull it into R on the CRED and analyze it and do the regression. So, yeah, there's going to be challenges, but we have to do that once to get the influence factors once a semester, I think, and then we can use that to apply to our student populations for maybe several years.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Julie Johnson with Strayer University. I was wondering if you could go back, Celeste, to your slide about the challenges. Greg, I know that you had said that there's no perfect system yet. And obviously all of these institutions are making a lot of progress. But when I looked at that slide, like these are significant challenges that take a lot of time. And so even though there's not one perfect system that is holistic, I was wondering if Greg, if you or the others could speak to what is your vision and how do we get there, and is that what we ultimately need so that we're not dealing with multiple software installations and contracts and all of this?
Mm-hmm. So that's a great question. I imagine we all have different answers. Mm-hmm. So I'll start, since we sort of push this project out on institutions that are already doing this, which I think is an important takeaway from the panel. So my vision is not that there's one perfect system. I actually believe in specialization, that there are really good vendors that are good at early alert or at degree planning or at coaching and advising. The challenge is one of interoperability, and I would love to see a future of plug and play where you could decide that you wanted the Starfish early alert and the Ellucent degree planning, and you could just sort of push that into your systems and it would automatically integrate with everything else. Whether or not we'll get there, I don't know, but I think that the sort of my worry is that if we have one vendor that's delivering one system, you decrease competition in the marketplace and you end up sort of where we are today, which is with a lot of systems that are not that robust and that are not doing a lot of what institutions need. But let me ask Pat or Celeste or Ron.
This is early in IPAS systems, as Greg was saying, and there's complexity associated with things that are early, right? And things will get easier. I don't think we're ever going to get to a perfect system. You know, I think we need to vet some of the algorithms more inside the systems over time, too. And then we need to see if they do move the needle, if they work. So there's a lot we're all going to learn from doing this.
I think the other piece is that certainly this project is getting a lot of attention. It's getting a lot of attention in the vendor community. I've talked to Greg about this. I think one of the values is that we're seeing the vendors react very quickly to change and improvement. I think that's a real positive. I also have to say I'm not sure that there's going to be this single perfect system. I do think that the smaller the institution, the more challenging something like this is that we've talked about today, and I worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
If I could just add one thing, it's a data point that I didn't include in my deck here, but we asked institutions what their preferred strategy going forward for adopting IPAS technologies would be, and we gave them a fairly traditional kind of adoption set of choices. One was we heavily favor proven solutions and we want to stay within the suites products, the suites that we're familiar with. The second one was we'll be selective about adopting new innovative solutions, but our default is to stay within familiar tools. And then the third option was we'll aggressively adopt cutting-edge technology to get that benefit. And we got a fairly traditional kind of response on that. A little under 40%, I think it was 38%, said we want to stick with proven solutions. So they're going to, and I heard this in focus groups too, we're going to wait for our ERP vendors to produce better, newer modules. Another, I think a little over 40% said that they would be selective best-of-breed adopters. And about 15% said that they would be aggressive early adopters of IPAS technologies, which is maybe a little higher than you normally see, but that's a pretty traditional way of characterizing adopting systems.
Great. Well, I'm afraid we are out of time, so let's thank the panel one more time. And if you are interested in continuing the conversation, we're going to have another session in the afternoon from 2:30 to 4:30 with other institutions and vendors as well to continue the conversation. So thank you all.